Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Hey, Josh Turner. Good to see you. Welcome back to Absolute Radio Country. How you doing?
Oh, I'm busy but good.
Busy but good. Yeah. Well, you've got this new album coming out. Is that what's keeping you busy, or is it just life keeping you busy?
Yeah, the album, touring, you know, people always, it's always kind of a running joke. People ask me, so when are you going on tour? And I'm like, I'm always on tour.
Have you ever had a moment where you're not on tour? Like, since you've been kind of deep diving into this, has there ever been a moment where you're just like, nope, this year I'm not going to do it?
Not really. You know, I took a month off when my first child was born, you know, and there's been times where, like, during Christmas and early January and all that, where nothing was really going on, where we didn't work. But then I guess the longest time I've ever been off was during COVID, when everything was shut down.
You know, you mentioned having January and December off. Have you ever done a big Christmas show?
I have. So back, I guess, 2021 and 2022, I did an actual official Christmas tour promoting my Christmas record, King Size Manger. I had Nathaniel on the road with me, and it was it was a double-edged sword. It was a blast. We made a lot of great memories. The fans loved it, but I feel like it took a few years off my life.
What, just celebrating Christmas every day, or what?
Well, it was just the stress of pulling that show off every night, and to not only wear the artist hat, but to wear the father hat on stage.
Of course, yeah.
That whole thing, and traveling on a bus together again, and not only that, it was smack dab in the wintertime, so we were always up on the bus. Some nights it would be snowing, so we couldn't put the slides out on the bus. It's like crammed in there like sardines.
Well, let's talk about this new album, this country music thing. I'm very careful to say thing and not thang, because it is spelled it's your 10th studio album, is that right?
It is, yeah.
Does that blow you away a little bit? Or, I mean, sometimes I reckon you're just so busy doing things, doing the next thing, you don't have a chance to kind of look back and go, oh, that many albums, huh? But I guess when something like, you know, a 10 rolls around, you must go, 10 studio albums, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you know, it's been a long time coming. And, you know, the industry has kind of slowed down since I got into it, because when I was growing up and listening to radio when I was in high school and even college, you know, artists were putting out, you know, single after single after single, and they would do a record every year, and they would have 3, 4, maybe 5 singles off of one record. And when I came along and got signed and started, you know, pushing songs towards radio, things had slowed down on the chart tremendously, to where it was virtually impossible to do a record every year, because you were still promoting the same single.
Right.
Over the course of 12 months or even longer. My first hit, Long Black Train, was on the chart for 54 weeks. And I say all that to say that for me to be able to say that I have 10 studio albums, like, that's not 10 years.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's speeding back up again now? And I ask that question because I noticed that there are some artists who, they'll just release a single, or they'll release an EP, or they'll release a few songs and they won't release an album, and then maybe an album comes along. But in terms of kind of output of music, and I suppose this has something to do with the way that we all consume music now, right? That you can record something and the next week stick it up on streaming services if you wanted to. And some artists do that, and then some artists take a little bit more time and craft the whole thing and, you know, put together an album as a complete work of art and put it out that way. But it seems like there don't seem to be too many rules about how you can do things.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. And I think it just kind of depends on what kind of approach you want to take. Like you say, you kind of hit the nail on the head there, because yeah, there are a lot of artists that are just, they're not even putting out full records, or they may be putting out a song every month or whatever. And for me, I don't really know what to expect with this record, because we're actually taking a different approach with this. We're promoting it through press, and we're putting out a few songs before the album comes out. And you know, I just did a video for one of the songs, and you know, it's still a full record. You know, that I'm still that kind of artist where it's a project to me, and I want to dive in and make sure that it's a full actual record. But beyond the release, I don't really know what to expect other than just trying to continue to get the word out and tour next year centered around this record, and I'll let you know how it goes.
We've certainly been playing down in Georgia. I love that song. And so I suppose that's the one you're talking about that you kind of put out there before. Because you have a new one now on the way, don't you? Two Step In on the Moon is the latest, right?
Well, yeah, we had put out Heating Things Up.
Heating Things Up, of course.
Down in Georgia. And then we put out the Somewhere With Her, which I love. But yeah, Two Stepping on the Moon will be kind of featured in a video the day of the album release.
So, can you two-step?
I've probably done it before, because I actually, you know, did dance in a show in Myrtle Beach, Carolina years ago. But I've told people ever since I got my record deal that my dancing days are over.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you know, you've got Why Don't We Just Dance. Now you got Two Stepping on the Moon. You know, you could do a whole dance tour, I reckon.
The only time I really dance now is to just, you know, just to prove to my boys that I can do like the latest dance moves. But I'm not going to do that in public, but I'll.
So what's the latest dance move you've been doing? You've been like twerking or something?
No twerking, but I've shown my boys that I can floss and do the gritty and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. I feel like we're missing out here by you not putting this out in public, Josh.
You are missing out.
You could have a whole new career.
I'll leave it at that.
Would you ever do something like Dancing with the Stars or anything like that?
I was in that show doing all the dancing and everything. Like, it was fully choreographed, and it was, you know, 3-hour show, you know, 3 nights a week. And one thing I learned right off the bat was this is a whole lot harder than I've ever given it credit for, because like these true dancers, like there's an art to it, and there's a lot of memorization and all this kind of, and physicality and flexibility and all that. And I could do it, but it was kind of like when I was growing up, when my mama and my grandmama forced me to play piano, and then I went to college and I was required to take piano, and it's like I could do it, but I hated every second of it, and I didn't any of it after it was over. And that's kind of how dancing is with me. I can do it, but I don't enjoy it.
But you choose not to.
I just choose not to.
So wait, this was a show in Myrtle Beach, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
A show of yours, or like a theater show, or what was it?
It was like a theater show. It was actually an amphitheater right on the beach on the coast. And so it was an open air amphitheater, and we would sing, dance, do all different styles of music. We would have costume changes, and
I got you,
the old nine yards. You know, it was pretty fun.
I know what you're talking about. So lots of tourists would come, and it was kind of an attraction type thing.
It was a variety show, yeah.
What was it called? Did it have a really bad name or a really good name?
It was called High Stepping Country.
Okay. All right. I feel like, Josh, there's got to be video footage of this out there somewhere.
There is probably.
Okay, well, I'm sure somebody's going to dig that out for us, and we can feature that. So you just moved to Georgia recently, right? Because your song Down in Georgia, I reckon a lot of people assume that you're Georgia if they don't know, because you're a Carolina boy. Is it South Carolina?
Yeah, most of my fans know that I'm diehard South Carolina, you know, native and all that. But my wife is from Georgia, and that's not really why we moved, but. We moved about a year ago. It's been a little rocky trying to readjust to new settings and new surroundings, new people and all that. But it's actually been really great for us. It's been a good change of scenery. The boys have adjusted well going to a new school. We love our place. And it's not far from Nashville. It's not far from, we're closer to family.
Right.
And I'm close to the Atlanta airport, so I can get most anywhere I want to get to. And so it's.
I mean, that's why, isn't that why Elton John moved to, he had a house in Atlanta, because that airport was so good. Are you neighbors with Elton John? Is that what you're saying to us?
Sort of. I think he lives not so far from here.
Okay, great. I go around and borrow a cup of sugar.
That's right.
Hey, you mentioned you're going to be touring this record and stuff, and it's been a year since you've been to the UK. Is that right? About a year?
Yep.
So when are you coming back, Josh?
Hopefully not too far in the future. I love being over there. The fans are incredible. I love, you know, doing all my sightseeing and everything and all my history stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're into your history, aren't you?
Yeah. When I was there last year, I wasn't even looking for it. I decided to walk from our hotel all the way to the British Museum and back. And wow, what a walk. It was a long walk. But on the way back, I took some street. I was trying to find my way back because my phone died. And I'm like, uh-oh, all right, let's see if I can, you know, get there. And so I ended up walking past the John Wesley Chapel and the, you know, the grave and site and all that museum. And I was like, man, this is super cool because, you know, John Wesley came over here and actually preached in the States years and years ago. And so there was that, you know, UK, England kind of, or America, England kind of connection there. It was really cool.
I mean, that's one of the great things about London and kind of all over the UK, really, is that you just go walking and you happen upon some sort of history or some sort of building that's older than, you know, the whole of the United States. And you think, wow, you know, so it's a great way to get to know a city out walking like that. So I think you did the right thing there. You mentioned Long Black Train there, 21 years since that iconic album came out. And, you know, that the album and the song, it still absolutely resonates. People still love it. We still play it a lot. We talked a little bit about how the industry has changed so much, but also something that seems to be, and I guess it comes and goes a little bit, but certainly at the moment, the traditional sound of country music seems to be really popular right now. Why do you think that is?
I don't think there's ever really a full explanation for it. I think it's just, you know, a matter of who the artists are that come along and catch fire. You know, when I first went to England back in 2019, had a young artist opening for me every night that didn't have a hit, and now she's out there just tearing it up, Lainey Wilson.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you and Lainey both came over to play the Long Road that year.
Yeah, and she had opened for me at Union Chapel and up in Manchester and all of that, and I was like, man, she's pretty good, and didn't realize how good.
Yeah, people tend to agree about that one.
Yeah, she took off, so.
But also, your man, TikTok, is totally brought that song roaring back. I mean, it never went away in that sense, but what's interesting about TikTok is that it can take a song that is however old it might be and literally put it back into the charts again, or people pick back up on it again. And I think that also kind of goes hand in hand with people digging this traditional country thing again. When the TikTok thing happened with Your Man, were you just kind of keeping an eye on it, or was it suddenly like, wait, hold on, we need to dig into this?
Well, it's funny, like I don't spend a ton of time on social media, but I try to use it to my...
That's because you don't do your dances on TikTok like you should do, Josh.
But no, social media to me is yet another means of getting my music out to the fans. Sometimes, you know, fans and, you know, demographics that I may not ever reach by way of my tour and country radio and all that kind of stuff. So we've tried to use it to our advantage. But yeah, Your Man, it never ceases to amaze me what that song has done and will continue to do, because I've always been very staunch traditional country music and just try to stay in my lane. I don't try to, you know, cross over to pop and this and that and the other. And, you know, if it happens naturally, that's the best way for it to happen. And yeah. So again, crossing over into that mainstream audience and that younger audience and just reaching people of all different kinds has been really crazy to watch, because I never asked for that. I never went after that. It just kind of happened. And now it's a quadruple platinum single and the album is triple platinum. I mean, it just continues to grow and gain new fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And it bought you a brand new house in Georgia as a result of TikTok, so you can't complain. You know, collaboration is really hot at the moment. You did the Randy Travis thing, obviously, but collaborations haven't been something, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it doesn't feel like collaborations have been a huge part of kind of what you do.
Yeah, I've done a good many collaborations. I haven't done any, like, well, I don't want to say I haven't done any, because I have, but I haven't done a lot of, like, full-on duets. I've had, you know, quite a few artists come in and you know, sing a prominent harmony vocal or whatever.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, I've had some people, you know, sing. I've done duets. You know, I did done one with Rhonda Vincent and Anthony Hamilton and, you know, just different ones. But, yeah. And I guess Chris Jansen on the Country State of Mind record. But,
oh, yeah, of course. Is there anybody you'd love to collaborate with at the moment?
Well, I mean, there's you know, quite a few. I mentioned Laney Wilson. Scotty McCreary is out there. And I think Luke Combs is a fan of mine. And, mm-hmm. There's a laundry list of, like you say, young, traditional kind of artists that would probably make sense.
Yeah.
But like I say, I don't go looking for that all the time. It just kind of depends on the song.
Every time I introduce a song of yours, and you know, we play very frequently on the station, I always say Josh Turner, the deepest voice in country music, or, you know, coming up next, the deepest voice in country music. And it got me thinking, are you the deepest voice in country music? Because I think you're definitely up there on the list if we had to make one.
Nowadays, yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Randy Travis obviously has his lovely deep voice. I suppose maybe TJ Osborne, he can go quite deep, I suppose, as well, but not as deep as you.
Got a pretty rich voice, yeah, but yeah, it's kind of deceiving. You know, voices are funny. Sometimes you hear these songs that sound a little more full or whatever, but they might not have a lot of range. But one thing my producer always noticed early on when he first started working with me was that he was like, you know, he's like, I know your the low stuff is like your money notes, but he said, man, you have a really, you know, great high range, and we really need to kind of use that more than we have been. And so I hate hearing that because it's harder to sing high.
Right. So maybe I should say the biggest range in country music, Josh Turner, coming up next.
Who knows? I don't know.
Hey, just before I let you go, I just want to talk about the Opry for a moment. So your Opry debut, December 2001, do you remember that night? Because it seems like, you know, there's certain moments in a country music artist's life, and making a debut at the Grand Ole Opry certainly seems to be one of those moments.
Yeah, I remember it vividly. The thing, though, that early on I never even picked up on for whatever reason was the fact that the reason my opera debut got such a huge reaction, which was two standing ovations and an encore, was the fact that, and like I say, I didn't even realize this myself until years later, and I felt stupid when I realized it, but when I went out on stage that night, I had just signed my record deal a month prior to setting foot on that stage. I didn't have a band. I didn't have a website. I didn't have a record out. I didn't have a video out. I hadn't done a photo shoot. Nobody knew who Josh Turner was. And so when I walked out there, the plan was for me to sing one song, which was Long Black Train. And that was that. That was the plan. I was like, if I can get through this, I'll be good. And so I didn't even make it halfway through the song before people started standing up and cheering. And it caught me so off guard. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then, of course, you know, I finished the song. I leave. Bill Anderson calls me back. I stumbled through a second, you know, pass at it because I had just gotten overwhelmed and emotional because I'm like, man, I'm standing where a lot of my heroes have stood. And this is a historical moment. So it's pretty emotional. I leave. And the general manager of the Opry, who we had begged, you know, to get onto that stage, he comes up to my dressing room. And he says, you can come back anytime you want. You're welcome here anytime. But the thing that I'd never realized was that reaction from that crowd that night was extremely 100% genuine because they didn't know who I was. They were responding to the song and my voice. And there was no preconceived notions. I wasn't an established artist. It was truly genuine and 100% natural, and that was the thing that it took me years to realize because I knew the song. I wrote it. I was familiar with it, and I was just out there to sing like I always did, but the crowd had no idea who I was.
It just shows you that a genuine song, genuine art, you know, it just connects with people, doesn't it? They'll have never have heard that song before, I'm sure, most of them. And so they just connected with it. And you know what? People continue to connect with that song. And so many of your other songs, 10th studio album, this country music thing, not thang, this country music thing, and Two Steppin' on the Moon is the new single. Josh, it's always a joy to see you. Thank you for having a chat with us. And hopefully we'll see you over here real soon.
I hope so.
All right.
Get the plan in it.
Yeah, we'll do a TikTok where we're flossing.
There you go.
Hey, have a good one. We'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.